Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. It's a Thursday morning. Happy that you're with us here. The 23rd day of January, and things are moving at a lightning pace as we move into the third full day of the Trump administration. More news conferences and press availability in the last 48 hours than the media's had in the last 4 years. It's pretty amazing to watch the difference. You know, I'm sure as much as the media hates Trump, the mainstream media, they've got to be encouraged that they've got some job security, right? Because they have full access to a president now, and he takes questions. He doesn't always agree with them. Sometimes he chews them out for it and shushes them as they're asking it, but he takes the questions. And somebody asked him yesterday if he had TikTok on his phone, and he said no, but I might download it. I don't know if he said that just to irritate him or what exactly it was. We still don't know what's going on with that, and it may or may not be around in 75 days. We'll see what happens. They don't seem too interested in selling it. They've been offered a lot of money for it. So it makes you wonder exactly how important it is to the Chinese Communist government that they just don't want to give it up. But the alternative apps are in Mandarin Chinese. So what are we doing here? I mean, you kind of have to ask yourself that. Lots going on in the world this morning. More wildfires in California, snow down south. We've been covering that for you. If you listen to the podcast or you've ever downloaded it, that's easy to do. You can go back and hear our interview with Evan Brown from Fox News Radio at about 6:20, about an hour ago, talking about some of the snow and the problems that they're facing across the south as a result of it. On the bright side, in a lot of these areas, it's going to be in the 70s this weekend. So whatever snow they have will be going away much more quickly than you poor South St. Louis residents who are 17 days into snowy roads and in some cases no garbage pickup. So they're still going to be in better shape than us in a day or two, even with all the snow they've received down there. Coming up, we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent, anxious to get his take on a number of things, including some of the president's comments last night and the slow pace at which the Senate seems to be approving nominees. I mean, I know they're going to force some votes. Will it take recess appointments? I don't know. We'll see what Jim thinks about that coming up here in a few minutes. And then we'll get to Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger before the end of the hour. Interestingly, the Missouri Supreme Court, even as the Trump administration tries to get rid of DEI programs, a couple of years ago, the Missouri Supreme Court passed a rule that every year attorneys in Missouri, as they go through their continuing education, have to take at least 1 hour of training on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, Senator Eric Schmidt, among others, have signed a letter to the Missouri Supreme Court asking them to eliminate that rule or reconsider it. And we'll talk to Lieutenant Governor Wassinger about that at about 7:45. Right now, though, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Because Lakin Riley should be alive today. And she would be alive today if it hadn't have been for the Democrats in the Biden administration.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene there, if you didn't recognize her voice. She's talking about the Lincoln Riley Act. It passed the House and will be the first piece of legislation to go to President Trump's desk.
Remember the 37 murderers that President Biden commuted their sentences? Remember two of them, one that he pardoned, killed two FBI agents.
Gee, the mainstream media is much more concerned about the J6 pardon than some of the dangerous pardons handed out by Joe Biden as he was on his way out of office. That was Senator Mark Wayne Mullen arguing with, I think it was Kate Baldwin, over at CNN yesterday.
Do you believe that moment? People say to me, they see a change in you. Do you believe you've changed? Is this, for example, increased your faith in God?
Yes, I think so.
Donald Trump speaking extensively with Sean Hannity, took up about Hannity's whole hour last night. His first interview there from the Oval Office, sit-down interview, that is, on a big television network. And he had a lot to say, and we'll be covering it for you this morning.
The bill sponsors aren't even close to the city. They aren't even in the same area code as the city of St. Louis. And they only come in the city to go to baseball games and hockey games.
Oh, man. Mayor Tish does not think you should be able to have an opinion about crime in the city if you don't live in the city. Well, I don't live in the city. Carl lives in the city. Sue lives in the city. I drive into the city every day. I pay my earnings tax because I work in the city every day. So I do have a say in that. Now, Nick Schroer does not. He's the senator who introduced the bill that would flip control of the St. Louis Police Department back to state control. And he's the one who was speaking yesterday in Jeff City as they contemplated his bill on this. And, of course, Mayor Tishara Jones and the police chief all went down there to lobby against this sort of change. My guess is unless they screw this up royally, this will get to the floor, get to a vote, and be signed by the governor in fairly short order. I don't think it'll be all that controversial. I think they're going to flip this back to state control. Listen to part of the interaction yesterday and some of the mayor's comments. Go to cut 12, please.
The bill sponsors aren't even close to the city. They aren't even in the same area code as the city of St. Louis. And they only come in the city to go to baseball games and hockey games. They need to come in the city, meet with our officers, attend CompStat to see how our officers are doing the work every single day.
One of the bill's sponsors, St. Charles County State Senator Nick Schroer.
The population of the city of St. Louis has drastically been decreasing, and with it, our economic vitality. Businesses are reluctant to invest, families are moving out, and growth has stagnated. This is more than just a statistic. It is a call for change and a demand for action.
Mayor Jones saying that's not true, with crime down and investments into the city on the rise. According to Greater St. Louis, Inc., St. Louis's Central Corridor is outpacing St. Charles County in development and growth.
Until they have walked a mile in any of our officers' shoes, they don't have the right to say anything about how our police department should be run.
No, they don't. But hey, Tish, I would recommend that you maybe sit down with some of the officers. Every single one of them that I know supports state control. The chief doesn't, because the chief was hired by you, and he is therefore at your bidding. But the officers at the street level in the city of St. Louis, all, to my knowledge, the vast majority of them, I should say, support the idea of state control, because it removes your ability, Mayor Jones, to defund the police, which is exactly what happened when you eliminated 130 positions this week all in the name of supposedly giving a pay raise, which was less than to the existing officers. So that's one reason, and that's one place you lose that argument, I think. People that don't live here but work here and go to ball games here are able to have an opinion about it. And the perspective is not good, unfortunately for you, in the entire region. All right, quick break. Jim Talent coming up here. Anxious to get his thoughts on the pace at which change is taking place under the Trump administration and whether or not he thinks recess appointments are a good idea or maybe necessary if delays continue with some of these nominations.
Any plans for the weekend or the evenings? Because we're going to get these nominees confirmed, starting with Mr. Ratcliffe, and then moving on to Mr. Hegseth, and moving on to Mr. Noem, the easy way or the hard way. We tried to cooperate with the Democrats. The cooperation has not been forthcoming. So I guess it's going to be the hard way, starting on Thursday.
Well, that's today, Thursday, and that was Tom Cotton there, Jim Talent. I don't know if you heard him say that or not, but it sounds like they're getting a little frustrated with some foot dragging up there in your former workplace in the Senate.
Yeah, Mark, and I have to say, I had no idea what you wanted to talk about this morning because so much has been happening this yeah. week, right?
not much to discuss. I was wondering if maybe some recess appointments will be discussed at some point if a week from now or 2 weeks from now it looks like Chuck Schumer and gang are serious about delaying some of these nomination hearings.
Well, I think this is the right tactic, and I thought from the beginning that to get the nominations through was the best reason to keep the Senate in. In other words, this is something you can really accomplish by staying in 7 days a week. And so, yeah, that's what they're going to do. And I think people will be enthusiastic about doing it and are making plans already to stay. And I think after a couple weekends like this, Schumer is going to get a lot of heat from some of his members who don't want to stick around to cast no votes, or in many cases, as Cotton was saying, you know, to cast votes for people are going to get confirmed 90-10 anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, it's exactly the right tactic, and we need to get these people in place as soon as possible.
You know, Jim, there is so much to talk about. The pardons that happened as Joe Biden was going out the door, I don't know if those have been pardoning his family. I don't know if that's been overshadowed by the mainstream media complaining about the pardons for the January 6th people by Donald Trump. But there were a lot of pardons that happened in about a 24-hour period.
Yeah, and everybody was speculating it was going to happen. I originally, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have said, well, you can't do anything that bad. Pardon all the members of his family for everything going back 10 years, which is as much as an admission that they've been influence peddling, which we knew, but that also had transgressed the law. So this is not going to be the end of this, Mark. And I think there are going to be attempts and there are going to be investigations to find out at least the truth, whether you can act or not. There's value in finding out the truth, whether you can act on it or not. So I think we'll see that going forward.
You know what I think? We're talking to Jim Talent here. I think that is very interesting is this issue of birthright citizenship. And I read some pretty interesting comments from a lawyer on this today. It was on Twitter who wrote pretty extensively that there was a they believe the intent of the founders was not the system we have now, and that birthright citizenship is being abused, and that the Trump administration did what they did with this EO, begging a legal challenge so they could get this into a courtroom.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's important to keep in mind there are two buckets to consider this in. Okay, one of them is the policy question. What's the right policy? And I have always believed that it never made any sense for us to do what I don't think any other country does, which is to say, the mere fact that you were born here, even if your parents were not legally here, confers citizenship upon you. I mean, the right policy, we can talk about what that is. I think, yeah, if you're here permanently, but you're not a citizen, probably okay. But then the other issue is the constitutional issue. What does that term, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, in the 14th Amendment mean? And we need clarification on it. And the way to get it is to do exactly what the president's doing. I don't know where the courts will come out on this. I feel pretty certain it's going to get to the Supreme Court at some point. And by the way, I think we'll all benefit from what I think will be an intelligent and scholarly approach the Supreme Court will take to it. I don't know how they're going to come out.
Yeah, true. Well, Marco Rubio's already instituted a few changes since he's taken over. Are you satisfied with him as Secretary of State?
Oh yeah, yeah. And he's the big change is the remarkable idea that American foreign policy ought to be conducted in a way that benefits the United States and the people of the United States and our security and our interests, which to me is just a given.
Yeah.
And that kind of clarity, Mark, I mean, it may seem simple to everybody, and it is, but that kind of clarity on a strategic level is how you begin developing good policy. So I'm not surprised. Marco is just a fine guy, and I think he's been shaped but a lot of experiences that are really going to help him in the job. So it's a good choice by the president.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens next. No more flags other than the U.S. flag flying over embassies. I mean, just lots of common sense policies put into effect pretty much the minute he got in office. Jim, thank you as always for your thoughts.
You are welcome.
We'll talk soon. Jim Talent there, former Missouri senator and was a nominee for Secretary of Defense under the previous Trump administration. And I know some folks on the socials this morning on Facebook are thinking he might have been a better pick than Pete Hegseth. Less controversial, for sure. But my guess is Pete Hegseth is the SecDef by this time next week. I could be wrong about that. Coming up, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit about DEI and the state of Missouri and a rule put in place by the Missouri Supreme Court a while back. Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger is going to join me at about 7:45. Stay tuned.
Take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia. Take a look at what's gone off in L.A. where people murder people and they don't get charged. These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing.
Obviously, President Trump there talking about the pardons of the J6 defendants, and we're lucky enough to get one of them on the show with us this morning, Jake Lang, who we played some sound the other night when he was holding his Bible and hugging his family as he got out of jail after, what, 4.5 years? Jake, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. Mark, you guys are doing great work over there displaying this moment of American history where the votes that were casted November 5th have now materialized. And that feeling of freedom that we voted for, you can actually tangibly, viscerally see families reunited, men that are, you know, speaking, God has put it in our hearts to speak his word, to talk about our constitutional republic, how we never lost hope in this American way of life, even though we were dejected, we were rejected by our own government, by our own people for so long. The Republicans, Ted Cruz, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, all these people wrote us off, called us violent domestic terrorists, and all these horrible things. But God made a way for us after 4 years and 6 days incarceration with no trial. I'm a free man, and it is a good thing to be a free man, tell you what.
Congratulations. And, you know, the embarrassing part for me, Jake, is what you just mentioned, that as an American U.S., as a U.S. citizen, you were held, your freedom was taken away from you for the past 4 years without ever getting you to a trial. I mean, that in itself is outrageous. And I don't know if you've already considered a lawsuit or legal action of any sort. How did they get away with that, sir?
Well, they don't get away with it. That's how, I mean, you know, MAGA stands for me, make America, or make accountability great again. And we're going to hold them accountable. We've got a new organization I formed called the Federal Watchdog. And this is a organization that's risen out of the ashes of persecution to go after all of these lawfare groups. It's actually called the Anti-Lawfare Group. And so we are now putting together a historic $50 billion lawsuit against the DOJ. Over 600 Jan 6 plaintiffs. We're probably going to have the other, 1,000, because there are 1,600 Americans that were persecuted in a sham witch hunt to try to chill the American people away from exercising their rights ever again. They thought when they arrested 1,600 Jan 6ers, everyone would go underneath rocks and go into hiding. There would never be any protests again. They would just put us through fear and submission into giving up our God-given rights. But we struck back, and this lawsuit is now going to be actually the largest ever against the DOJ. And we need your guys' help out there to fund this bad boy. This is a monster. It's going to take about 3 or 4 attorneys the next 6 months sorting through every single IGP, which is internal grievance process that you do at the prisons. when you have a problem like a small problem like 16 months without a haircut or shave that I went through in the D.C. gulag, or 18 months without a family visit, or years without a religious service, years without access to the law library, and also the physical and mental abuse they put us, pepper spraying us, punching us when we're singing the national anthem. So there are so many cases of inhumane torture. And how about this one, which it may turn the and twist your audience guts a little bit. 900 days of solitary confinement I endured by God's grace alone. And so we have a legal team sifting through all this information, and we need your guys' help to fund this historic monstrosity. So please, guys, go to J6Rebuild.com. That's the letter J, the number 6Rebuild.com. And when you guys are, you know, on that site, you'll also see that this is a project we've put together called the January 6th Life Rebuilding Fund. And not only are we fighting the legal battles for me and my fellow brothers, what we're also doing is we're supplying first month's rent, some new sneakers, some groceries, a cell phone, the basic necessities to these men who have suffered inhumane torture and their lives have been upended and destroyed. We've got men that used to be homeowners and generational business owners coming out homeless and with no job and no career because the DOJ and the weaponized lawfare against them to persecute patriots and make them financially devastated. They paid $150,000 for their lawyers to do nothing because they couldn't do anything because we were in a rigged D.C. jury pool. So anyway, it was completely unfair. It was insanity trying to go to trial in D.C. Everything was against you. And these men have been devastated. They're penniless. Many of them have no home to go to. We have them up right now in an extended stay motel trying to get them jobs. There's 250 liberated political hostages roaming the streets of D.C. and of different areas where they got out of prison. And so we can't allow them to be destitute, guys. We need to stand around these patriots who stood up for us. Please go to J6Rebuild.com. That's the letter J and the number 6Rebuild.com.
Jake Lang, our guest, just freed from being held without trial for over 4 years. Jake, we tried to get you on the show one time. Might have been last year. I'm pretty sure it was. And the day we had you scheduled, you couldn't make the phone call because you were back in solitary confinement. What were the conditions like in that jail?
Well, that was the most dangerous prison in America. That was Brooklyn MDC, and that's where they're holding R. Kelly and Puff Daddy and that guy Luigi that shot the UnitedHealthcare CEO. And not only are they holding those stars there, but they're holding the most notorious gang members in New York, from the Bloods, the Crips, the Mac Ballers, the Trinitarios, and there's literally stabbings and murders and gang wars happening there all the time. When I was there for just 4 months, in a 40-day span, there were two murders that happened on my floor. And so, God forbid, that place was horrendous. And when they had thrown me in solitary confinement for making communications to the outside world, they threw me in because you have to remember, we were labeled domestic terrorists in the BOP's system. I mean, the world had labeled us that. And when they threw me in solitary confinement, my cellmate in, 24-hour lockdown was an MS-13 gang member, the big guy called Lucky, who had personally killed over a dozen people. And by God's amazing, and sovereign protection and grace, we actually ended up doing Bible studies every night together. And I got to know a man that was, unknowable because God opened up his heart to the gospel and Jesus had started to begin the long healing process in that man's life through, this thing that we call grace. And I've received that grace in my life too. Walking out of that prison just 48 hours ago, not less, 36 hours ago. And, for the first time in 4 years and 6 days, being able to hug and kiss on my fiance and see my dad. And I'm sure some of the people seen the videos on my ex account of this amazing being reunited is incredible. If you guys want to watch those videos, my ex, my Twitter is Jake Lang, J6. LANG, Jake Lang, J6, and the videos are, I mean, it's American history. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Jake, I'm going to run out of time here, unfortunately, but I do want to ask this. Part of the criticism of Donald Trump over these pardons is people are claiming that, you know, we don't really support police officers because some of you were accused of assaulting officers at the Capitol that day. What's your reaction when you hear people saying that?
Well, Nate, I mean, these guys are not the officers that come get your cat out of a tree and are standing on the high side of the highway cleaning up a horrible car wreck. Those guys are heroes, brave, selfless people. These are people, the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police. They hate Donald Trump and his supporters. They are like sheltered in this bubble of the D.C. swamp. And so they're all vicious BLM supporting liberals that wanted a peace. They wanted to get at the Donald Trump supporters that amassed at the Capitol that day. I mean, we have video of overheard, you know, little congregations of them saying, I can't wait till the Trump supporters get here. I'm going to bash one of their faces in. And so, you know, these men and women are violent, just like Antifa is violent against conservatives. And they perpetrated a onslaught, a murder, multiple murders at the Capitol that day. We did not kill or seriously injure a single officer. And they murdered four unarmed American protesters, Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan, and Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips. And so, you know, we were incredibly restrained in our reaction to defend our country, to defend ourselves and our bodies against rubber bullets and tear gas and concussion grenades, and to defend the people standing next to us. I mean, you know, that's what I was trying to do at the Capitol. When you Google my name, you'll see some pretty epic photos of 1776 patriotism, but I didn't show up with those, you know, a baseball bat or a riot shield or a gas mask. Those things were found on the ground, and I scrambled to get them because we were being murdered and viciously attacked. We were not the aggressors. We were peacefully protesting when police officers tried to kill us. They're no longer police officers. They're a tyrannical force of oppression.
Jake, I'm out of time, unfortunately. Get people that website one more time, please.
Yes, guys, please support the Jan Sixers and getting our feet back underneath us. J6Rebuild.com. The letter J, the number 6, Rebuild.com. J6Rebuild.com.
Jake Lang, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
May God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. We're going to be back in just a minute. We've got Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger coming up. Stay tuned. Well, DEI has been canceled across the country. If you are listening and paying attention to what the Trump administration has been doing since being sworn in, of course, it's also an issue here in Missouri. And we've got Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger on the phone right now. And Mr. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to talk with you. I just came back from Trump's inauguration, and we're getting back into the Jefferson City swamp and trying to get things drained here. So we look forward to working with President Trump. Had a great visit with him. Just talked to folks from the White House. We have a lot of Missouri connections, so we're going to fight this DEI and many other issues along with President Trump.
Yeah, I see that you've joined with Eric Schmidt and Vivek Malik and Eric and Andrew Bailey to ask the Missouri Supreme Court to make some changes. What's that all about?
Yeah, so your listeners, the lawyers, a few years ago, the Missouri Supreme Court mandated lawyers engage in DEI training for at least an hour a year. So, Mark, what the lawyers would do would be mandated to sit through the most insane liberal woke indoctrination for an hour each year. It's still mandated to do so. You saw the reverend or the preacher that was at the cathedral with the Trump family.
Yes, the bishop.
A couple of days ago. Well, envision having to sit through an hour of that every year with woke indoctrination and being mandated by the Missouri Supreme Court to do so. So it just drives attorneys crazy. So that is done by the Missouri Supreme Court. There was a Missouri Supreme Court judge that is now off the bench that was the brainchild behind this rule. So we need to have the Missouri Supreme Court read the room, get behind what Trump's trying to do. So I reached out to Attorney General Andrew Bailey, to U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt, to State Treasurer Vivek Malik, asked them what their thoughts were. Every lawyer hates this, this mandatory rule to be indoctrinated. So we led the charge in terms of writing a letter to Chief Justice Mary Russell, to ask them to eliminate and repeal this. I ran, you know, as an outsider to shake things up in Jefferson City. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to try to shake things up, get this DEI mandate eliminated from the rules. And if they won't do it, Mark, what we're going to ask they do is any judge that applies for a position in the state of Missouri, the process, they need to be asked their position on this DEI liberal woke indoctrination training that they're mandating attorneys be. So as you rotate these judges in, if they're in favor of this woke DEI training, they should not be on the Missouri State bench.
Well, and it would help, you know, if the voters had access to that information too, right? Whenever there are elections, I get all kinds of questions. Well, which judges should we vote to retain or not? And the average voter just doesn't know. I'd love that information to be public.
There would be a good survey question.
Yes.
And you know, lay people, they're not lawyers. They don't know most of these judges, so they have a hard time vetting them. And most, you know, you're not in this line of work, so you don't realize. I think this is epidemic in other areas, you know, whether it's medical or otherwise. So I happen to be very familiar with this rule. It drives me crazy. So I led the charge. To the extent your listeners know of other areas where these, you know, vocations are mandating this indoctrination, please let our office know. We'll run charge on that and try to eliminate it as well.
Outstanding. Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, thanks for your time this morning, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Yeah, appreciate that. There you have it. So hopefully the Supreme Court pays some attention to that because they got some heavy hitters knocking on the door there asking questions. Coming up, speaking of heavy hitters, how about Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday? Griff Jenkins is going to join us. He's been covering what's going on at the border as well with Tom Holman. We'll get to all that and more straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.